I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection live from Baghdad. The crush of people around the main passport office is so big, the crowd spills off the sidewalk and out into traffic. This morning, over 1,000 are lined up at the iron-barred windows hoping for a visa or a passport, a ticket out of this country. Most of them are young men. Ali Matrabaju is hoping for a visa to go to Lebanon. He's clearly not an educated man, but he grabs me by the shoulder and fires off a question that could have come from the editorial page of the New York Times.
I just want to ask one question. When the Americans first came to Iraq, they said that they came as liberators, not occupiers. They claimed that Saddam Hussein used to have mass destruction weapons. They didn't have these mass destruction weapons, and they didn't form a new government, a decent government for us. So where is the democracy and freedom they were claiming they brought to us?
Ali Mohammed is another young man in line. He knows exactly why he's here.
I want to travel.
Where?
To America.
Why?
To live. We want to see the Americans, how they are living. We want to live like them.
What do you know about American life? Why America?
They came here to occupy our country, and they are claiming that they have freedom and democracy brought for us. We want to go to America to see if they do have freedom and democracy in America.
Do you believe there is freedom and democracy in America?
According to what they are saying, there is freedom and democracy in America. But is freedom and democracy only a theory or a real thing?
Now, there's a question many people in America would pause before answering. Are freedom and democracy just theories, or are they real? Today on the program, we are convening our own round table of Iraqi youth. We have three university students with us here to answer your questions about life in Baghdad today. These are students who were born into Saddam Hussein's second decade in power, into a time when their country was at war with Iran. They have endured two wars since with America and a dozen years of sanctions. So, what's next? And has there been time in their lives for music and movies and sports and the other pleasures that most people take for granted? Here's our telephone number, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And just a reminder, listeners, to have a look at our website for pictures from the passport office earlier today, from the university campus where these students go to school, and images of our guests as well will be on the website shortly. With me in the studio, Hussein Al-Askri, welcome to The Connection. Nice to have you here.
Well, welcome to you, Dick.
And Uday Ali Abid is with us as well. Uday, welcome.
Welcome.
And Osama Assad, it's nice to have you here.
Nice to have you too.
Now, you heard these young men that I was talking to on the street. You know they're not anywhere near as well educated as you three, but here's what happened. They came up to me, they wanted to talk about freedom and democracy, weapons of mass destruction. Is it just because I'm a Westerner and I'm carrying a microphone that people want to talk about things like that, or is that what everybody's talking about in Baghdad these days?
Well, as you have said, they are uneducated, so we should not hang hopes on them. They only see life in one side. They only want to enjoy themselves. They forget to rebuild their country. They should stay at this particular moment. But these people are, let us say, are taking the chance of traveling to get off this country.
Uday, tell me something. Is politics something that that you and your friends talk about, or do you have other things on your mind these days?
To me, democracy that United States troops call for is not democracy we want for our people. And you can't say that the democracy are achieved now, or even 10 years later.
All right, let's not get mired down in politics right away. I want you to help me with something here, Osama. People who are listening to us will have noticed already that the three of you are all young men. We don't have any women in the studio, and people might be wondering why. You know, because we were at the university with you, that we had invited a number of young women to join us on the program today, but they were not able to come. Can you explain why for people listening?
Well, according to what we talked yesterday on about having a woman or a female voice with us, just want to add something that it's a bit risky to come all along from her house to attend the interview here in the studio. So it's, you know, about security.
But it's risky for you, too, and yet you got in.
No, but I'm a boy. It's unlike with the girls. So girls can't.
It's the parents who are saying this.
The parents, yeah. We are living in a Muslim society, and it's a bit restrictive. So we have to make differences between women and boys.
So let's just talk a little bit, about what you guys are up to. I know that you're all serious students. You spend a lot of time in school. But, Hussein, when you've got free time, what do you do?
Well, I don't have much free time. But if I have, I listen to music. I watch TV.
What music do you listen to?
Well, the Western and Eastern music.
Tell me,
I love music.
What Western music is you're listening to these days?
Of course, in fact, I'm in love with Madonna. She is my favorite singer. And I love the Caribbean music, like Ricky Martin, Gloria Estefan. Yeah, that's...
Uday?
To me, the free time I spend it in reading Quran. Or going to the mosque to pray more praise. And you can see we are in English departments always aspire to develop our language. So I have some magazines and books.
What kind of magazines?
Medical magazine and one, I think, financial.
Is this to practice your English or to... To study what's in the magazine?
No, to practice my English. Because I am out of the world, what's going on in the world. I don't know. And these magazines are old. And pretend to be happy in this life.
Pretend?
Pretend.
What do you mean by that?
There's nothing in this life make me happy. Except feeling that I am under the mercy of God. What we want from this life? Everything make you sad. The occupation, the unjust, lots of things.
Well, if you ask me about music, I'll tell you that music is in my blood. So, and about the types that I listen to music, I love rap music and some hard metal music. And about my...
Do you have a favorite rap artist or heavy metal band?
Of course, Tupac is my slogan. Yeah, and about heavy metal, Metallica is good.
Where do you get this stuff, Osama?
Well, we can get it from the shops where... there are in particular a shop which sells these things. The CDs come from abroad, and he copies it, and he sells it, so we can get it.
Could you get rap music 2 years ago?
Yes.
No problem. Under Saddam Hussein, no problem. You get
no problem, but it's a bit restricted that time. So some kind of not allowed, but we can get it by smuggling it.
Now, you are all at school from Saturday to Wednesday. Is that right? Is that your...
Yes, and Thursday is my day off.
Thursday is a day off. Friday is a day of prayer.
Yeah.
And when you want to do something on a Thursday... What are your choices? What can you do?
Well,
anybody.
Well, nowadays,
yeah.
Nowadays, well, as for me, I can't go outside when it's evening, so I'll just stick home. I will go to my cousins because they are nearby, and just talk about life and talk about the music and about the situation, the daily things.
It's all talk, though. It's not a...
It's not a talk. There's no project. There's no things that we can do nowadays. If I drive my car in the streets, I might get robbed.
What about sports? Does anybody here play sports?
I don't like sports.
You don't like sports? Yeah. Football or...
Well, I used to practice sport, bodybuilding. But now I can't because the sport gym is already closed. So
let's Let's see if we can bring some of our callers into the program here. Our number, 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK is the number. And our first call is from Bladen, North Carolina. Charles is joining us. Hi, Charles. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? My question would be, I would like to know, what is the overview reaction of all the young people, the population of all the young people there regarding the U.S. occupation of Iraq? I mean, do they have the same liberty as before, or things have just gotten tougher?
You mean how has it affected the lives of the people here, Charles?
Yeah, oh yeah, the young people.
Hi, Charles. Of course, there is a change. There is a change. Although it is slight change and cannot be detected clearly, but there is a change. And I think...
A change means it's since Saddam Hussein left and the troops came. Does it... Tell Charles what kind of change you mean. It's easier to do what you want? It's harder to do what you want?
No. Some of the things are easier in this period.
Like what?
Like going to mosque. I'm as a Shiite Muslim. I was prevented to go to my mosque because Saddam Hussein prevents Shiite from going to their mosque. So
and the Sunni, by the way.
The you Sunni, were prevented as well?
No, not to that case. If at the past time when Muslim go to the mosque much in the day, 20s, I mean more than what you have to do in the mosque.
And now that the U.S. is here, does that mean that there's more people at the mosque or fewer people at the mosque?
More people. He didn't prevent Muslims from praying, but from gathering. That is the point.
An important distinction.
Well,
Osama, what do you say,
Charles?
I just
want to ask something. Well, there's a lot of differences between the ruling of the ex-regime led by Saddam Hussein, the Trident and the oppressive, and now with the coalition forces. I just want to make sure that during the ruling of Saddam Hussein, there was no personal liberty. There's no freedom. You can't do what you want to do. There's a lot of restrictions. There's a lot of no. Now you can do anything freely. But, of course, with a lot of limits, because we are Muslims and we live in a permissive society. Let's say that we live with Christians. We have a lot of minorities, so we can express our ideas and do whatever we want to do freely, with no hesitation.
When we come back after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about what you see ahead, because this is, of course, such an upside-down time. It's impossible to know from one day to the next whether or not it's safe or happy or sad in the city. My guests are Osama Assad Uday Ali Abid, Hussein Al-Askri. They are university students here in Baghdad. They are here to take your questions. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. My name's Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. We are broadcasting live from Baghdad. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection, live from Baghdad. There is a large open common room at Baghdad University, set between the classrooms and gardens. It's a cheerful place. At any given time, there are several hundred students here, comparing notes, gossiping, and grabbing a snack. Amar Abbas is in charge of the concession stand. He says the students usually ask for hamburgers, hot dogs, and chicken. And Pepsi, he says. They prefer Pepsi. You're listening to The Connection, broadcasting live from Baghdad. We have three students in our studio this hour. They are here to answer your questions about their lives, their future. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-8255. 123Talk. Also, check out our website for images from today's program. We are at theconnection.org. And let's go back to the phones. Jamil is joining us now from West Roxbury, Massachusetts. Jamil, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
First of all, salam alaikum. I am a physician from Iraq. I graduated from Baghdad University Medical College. And here in Boston, I teach at Harvard Medical School. Christine Russo, your producer, she knows me. And my question to the young youth in Baghdad, I have absolutely no political interest, but what can I and others like me who are U.S. citizens with Iraqi background and passion for our native country, how can we help you guys? How can I be of any service to you or your parents in a medical way or educational way?
Jamil, stay on the line. We'll go around the circle here. Osama, do you want to start?
Well, about any medical supplies or any help, well, I think it's cool now because the coalition forces, I mean the CPA, is providing any medical supplies, any medical needs, are asking the people, what are you looking for, what are you needing from us? So they supply them with what they need. So I think there's no problem. But the problem, well, as I think, is the people, I mean the Iraqi people who just traveled abroad and are living as a, let's say, an American citizen specifically. They have to help us in some way or another by sending us, well, whatever is useful to us.
Because there's no mail. There's hardly any telephones.
Well, they can do anything. Nothing is impossible.
Right.
So you can do anything because we are their brothers, and the brother should help his brother out if he faces any problem.
I would be more than happy to send any journals, books, whatever. I'm not interested in profit or anything. I'll be more than happy to do that if you can find me the way of getting there.
Well, Jamil, let us compare Iraq to a woman who has a children. If her children leave her just to get a better life, then who will feed her? If she has gotten out of a war, of a quarrel, let us say. So we all have to help her, you and me, those who are in Iraq and those who are abroad.
Are you saying, Hussein, that people like Jamil, when they watch what's going on in Iraq, should think about coming back to this country to help here, to work here?
Yes. In the past, Saddam Hussein was preventing anyone from, let us say, from coming back to Iraq because he suspected them, especially from America, because he suspected their motives. But now they can't go and stay as they want. But I recommend they should stay in Iraq because Iraq is now facing a very critical, let's say, critical moment in its history.
Jamil, there's a challenge for you.
I will be more than happy to. I will do it for no charge at all. I will come and teach at Baghdad Medical School or see as many patients as they want me to. I'll be more than happy to.
We'll be happy, Jamil.
Uday, while Jamil is in the United States, he's in a position to speak to the people in that country. What is the message that you would have him say to people?
First of all, Jamil, I want to ask you a question.
I think Jamil may... Jamil, are you still with us?
Jamil.
No, he's hung up. But people would like to hear the question you have anyway. Go ahead.
To all Iraqis, not especially Jamil, are you happy in America? Are you happy and you are all far away from Iraq? If one of you is happy, how is happy is in Iraq?
You once said to me, Uday, be frank, say what's on your mind. So what exactly are you saying to the Iraqis living outside? Are you saying that they can't have real happiness unless they're here in this country?
Somehow, I don't mean it exactly. I mean any Iraqi, not any Arab. Iraqi is more than the Arab. When he leaves his country, he doesn't have the power to forget it from his mind. Even if he's a child and bred up in United States, the blood of Iraq will be run in his dreams.
1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Join our conversation. We are live in Baghdad with three university students here in our Baghdad studio. Back to the phones to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Bob is waiting on the line. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. It's an honor to talk to some students from Iraq. First, I want to say, as an American citizen, from the news reports we've gotten, I want to apologize for the way my country has liberated you. As a citizen here and many other of my fellow citizens, we don't agree with the way it's been done. We do think it had to be done. Do you agree with that? And what I'd like to know is, what would you rather our politicians do now? And do you realize that in next year there may be a new change in administration that will have an effect on the way our country has treated you?
Stand by, Bob. Let's let Hussein start with this one.
Well, Bob, hi. First of all, we have the honor. Second, we should not apologize because we, as you know, the political leadership, let us say, does not reflect all the people. So you can say that I am not with the political leadership.
You're saying you're not blaming American people for what the American leaders do? Is
not
that what
all
you're
the
saying?
Americans. Some of the Americans are encouraging their leadership. Some objected them by demonstration, and we see it in the TV. But your question of the way they liberate us, is there any other way? Give it to me.
Well, maybe to save the museum, you know, and hospitals, and, you know, have had more of a humanitarian plan ready right after the fall. That seems to be what many people here think didn't happen right. And I wonder, do you feel that there? I don't know. You know, maybe maybe you're too close to it to have, for it to happen, you know, when it happened. I don't know.
Hi, Bob.
This is Osama speaking now.
I'm Osama. Hi. I just want to say hello. I just want to ask something. I want to thank especially the coalition forces for setting us free from the tyrant Saddam Hussein.
Right.
And nobody's perfect, you know. So anybody makes some mistakes. About the coalition forces, yeah, I know, and I was there. They didn't protect the museum. A lot of things were stolen, and I know. But we can't just put and relay all the, well, dirty things on the coalitions. They tried to save us, and they did, thankfully. And what comes after it, I don't care. So it's a matter of time.
Do you feel like too many civilians have been killed?
Bob?
Yes.
O'Day is with you.
Yes.
How are you, Bob?
Hi.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
First of all, I want to talk in name of all Iraqis. We forgive the honorable, innocent people who reject what their leaders do. First of all, I want to give me an example. When the Iraqi army attacks Kuwait, nobody will be aware that Kuwaitians will forgive Iraqis. And what had happened in the few past days, if you have a connection with what's going on in the Arab home, you will see that Kuwaitians are very forgiving people because we are Arab. We forgive any mistake if there is apologize.
But you know what, though, you guys? People in America are also listening to a lot of Iraqis on news reports saying they want the Americans out. They don't like the way that their country is, and the word they use always is occupied. And the way that Americans are behaving in this capital city and in other parts of the country, people say that it's wrong and it's being done badly. When our friends in America hear that, are they hearing lies, or are there all sorts of different opinions here?
Well, Dick, as you know, there is no, let us say, acceptance of all the people, and there is no rejectance of all people. But as I see, and as I have, as I am living in Baghdad, and I have many Iraqi friends, Iraqi relatives, Iraqi brother, sister, all of them are waiting for a promising future, as you know. But they think that the coalition forces are moving slowly, very slow.
Too slowly?
Yeah, too slowly.
Well, as for me, in my opinion, I think that everybody in Iraq has his own opinion. So let's agree about that.
That's not a bad thing.
Okay, so first of all, let's mention that what I'm telling you is right. The other might tell you it's wrong. So, in my opinion, I think that the coalition forces are not an occupant. So they just came here to set us free, and then everything, when everything is done, and the reconstruction of Iraq will be set, they will leave.
Osama, I disagree with you.
Okay.
United States troops didn't come to Iraq to liberate Iraqis, because Iraqi must liberate himself, but not the foreign ones.
But that didn't happen.
We can't liberate ourselves.
Mean
they didn't.
We can't
give us the chance. I'm not attacking America in every response, but there is something true I have to tell the American. Iraqis have the chance to develop themselves. As you know, Saddam Hussein didn't permit us to do that.
Well, let's talk honestly, Oday. As a matter of fact, during the triumph and the oppressive Saddam Hussein, nobody can raise his voice. He was just squeezing us and slamming
us.
So we can't.
He will be executed. I agree.
Yes, we can't take any move. Once you say anything true or right, you will be executed. Your heads is off. So we can't.
But once Saddam goes, have you a chance to develop yourself? But before Saddam's regime is falling down, we saw the American troops in your country. What did you want to do?
1-800-423-8255. Join this roundtable conversation with university students here in Baghdad, next to Toronto, Canada. Jay is joining us. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to know, for the people who came from Iraq who are in your studio, whether they think that the U.S. is there to liberate them, or they came for their own sake, or they came...
What do you mean their own sake, Jay?
Such as oil, gas, that's the one I want to put it in. Or they came to protect Israel, or they are muppets of Israel. What do you think of Americans, what they are doing there?
Well, hi, Jay. First of all, I have to say that America is a very rich country and cannot be matched with any other country, especially a small country like Iraq. Although Iraq has a big oil, but I don't think that is the reason behind their occupation. Secondly, Saddam Hussein has never attacked Israel. Saddam Hussein...
Wait a second. He sent Scud missiles into Tel Aviv in 1991.
Only one missile, and that missile didn't kill anybody.
It wasn't intended.
Well, the reports in the West were that a number of Scud missiles went into Tel Aviv, and a number of people were killed there. And I mean, let's not argue about what happened there. Let's sort of set that aside. The news reports in Iraq on that, I'm sure, were much, much different than in the West. So
well, I was just a kid at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
But as I remember, Saddam Hussein has harmed the Iraqi people more than other people.
Would I?
Concerning what Hussein said, I think Israel is not the first harmed from Saddam's regime.
Although Israelis felt that they were very, very threatened by Saddam Hussein.
Concerning the missile, what had Hossein said, this missile is not wasn't intended, and the commander who's corrected the datas were fired, and all his soldiers were imprisoned.
These are the people who sent the Scud missile to Israel.
Yes. I think he is an agent.
Well, I just want to answer Jay's questions, and let's just stick to the question, not deviate or derailed. So about Jay's question, yeah, America has a lot of interests in Iraq as a wealthy country. Yes, Iraq has oil. Iraq has a lot of, potential things to do. The first thing they came for is to liberate us, in my opinion. Okay. After liberating us, they will, with their companies, come all along from America to invest in Iraq and have their companies. So what we have to do, and what's the next move for us, is to put hand in hand with the Iraqis and the Americans and other, persons, and just forget about our bad future, past or whatever, and just look for a bright future. Because if we just keep on complaining and screaming about each other, there would be no development at all.
Is that, Hossein, a worry that Iraqis just argue so much they're not concentrating on where this country can go?
Well, if we give more forgiveness, we will be happy, of course. If we take the hands of the liberator, let us say, the coalition forces, and thank them and go along with them to rebuild this country, we will be just like Germany and Japan.
1-800-423-8255. Connection listeners, that is the number that puts you directly in touch with three university students who are with us as we broadcast live from Baghdad this hour. My name's Dick Gordon. We welcome your calls when we come back after the break. You're listening to The Connection, live from Baghdad. You're listening to The Connection. We're broadcasting live from Baghdad this hour. My name is Dick Gordon. With me in the studio, Hossein al-Askri, Uday Ali Abid, and Osama Assad. These are three students at Baghdad University School of Languages specializing in English in their studies, which is why they are able to sit here in the studio and talk with you and answer your questions. 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. And I'm not supposed to say so, but one of them asked during the past break whether or not there were any young women who were going to call in. So if you're thinking about it, they would love to hear from you. 1-800-423-8255. And let's go to Northampton, Massachusetts. Mary is joining us. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. It's really a great honor to talk to all three of you. And my question is, do you feel that in this time you're able to develop dreams for your future? And if so, is there any way that Americans can help? And one other quick little question is, how can I send you some more music?
That sounds like it's for you, Sam.
Okay. Hi, Mary. It's nice to hear a feminine voice here. And about sending music, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll arrange that later with Dick. And about the first question, I didn't get it.
Dreams. When you think about the future, what do you dream about?
Well, I'm looking forward to making a good future. So I'm still young, and I'm supposed to have all the needs that I want to. I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to be a rapper. I want to maybe marry after five years. I want to make family. I want to be happy. And I want to travel, especially to America, because I'm an Anglophile. Let's put it that way. Okay, my dreams nowadays can't be done. Why? Because the security is not accurate. It's not done. It's not done yet. So what we are asking from the coalition forces, the CPA in general, is to bring us back the security.
And for the Iraqis, I don't want from the Iraqis to quarrel with themselves. I want to put hand in hand to look forward to a bright future, and I will assure definitely that once that happened, the Iraqi people and the Iraqi nation would be so successfully right.
Well, hi, Mary. I'm Hussein.
Hi.
About the future, as I have said, I'm very, very hopeful in the future, because I think that this change will be in the benefit of the of Iraq. And I was, let us say, I was always thinking of what to do after graduating, but now I'm not thinking of it, because I can get 100 job. You mean as a translator?
Hi, Mary.
Hello.
I hope that the coming years, Iraq would be liberated, rich, progressed country. No racism, no terrorism, no hatred. And I hope to be governed by an honored Muslim leader, not agent to any country or any regime. I hope to complete my study in United States or England and have a proper job. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Here in Iraq.
Here in Iraq.
Mary, back to you.
Back to me? Oh, I was wondering how Americans...
I'm just wondering what you thought of your responses there, Mary.
Well, I thought... I feel sad that it's chaotic there, and that it's not, you know, there's not enough security for people to make their dreams come true yet. And I'm wondering how, what Americans can do, American citizens can do, aside from, you know, we're arguing with our leaders and trying to make sure that they create or, you know, help create conditions for democracy there. But what is there something that we can do?
The only thing you can do, Mary, is to pray for us, as we are doing now.
Well, as for me, Mary, the only thing I'm doing right now, and after I go back home, I listen to some music as a sort of relief to forget my problems.
Concerning me, Mary, if you hear me, I want you to vote for our liberation. Loudly.
Does that mean vote for...
Mr. Bush?
Mr. Bush, or vote for someone else?
Anyhow.
You don't want to get too. You don't want to get involved in American politics.
No politics, please.
The smart one will understand what I mean.
You're such a puzzle sometimes, Uday. Mary, thank you very much for your call. It's nice to have you on the program. Tell me something, though. I was just thinking of it as I listened to Hussein say that what he hopes to do with his languages, that it opens up this great number of jobs as a translator. Uday, you're religious man. What is English for you? How do you see it as important in your future?
First of all, a media. A way to express my opinions and to show my dreams. Second, to get my life, to live a proper life.
Well, as for me, Dick, it's very important to learn English. English is one of the most important languages all over the world, and it's the language of business, language of industrial language, the language of economic. So what we are trying to say is, for me as a student at the English department, my future is to be, well, either in the media or a translator, and I was hoping to work with the coalitions, but unfortunately I didn't have the job. So the first thing I want to do is to improve my abilities in English, and that's the reason why I just wanted to work with the coalition. But unfortunately, nobody wanted to hire me.
I think that job will come. Mary, thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-800-423-8255. Time to get a call in with our university students here in Baghdad. We're broadcasting live to Virginia Beach now. And Robert, you're on. Go ahead.
Well, first I'd like to say hello from America, and thank you for talking with us.
Hello, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Nice to
I'm
hear
sorry
you.
I'm not a, a single young lady for you.
Okay, that's all right.
Okay. I did want to ask what role you see the Iraqi people playing now. Our media coverage is somewhat skewed toward the negative as far as our actions, but I was wondering what role you see the Iraqi people playing now, and maybe if it's different, what role they should be playing, because it's really a wonderful opportunity for Iraq. I was just wondering what y'all see on that.
Iraqi people, Robert, Iraqi yeah. people are divided now in two parts. Progressives and hesitants. Hesitants are divided also to mobs and those people who are called in their hopes, in their religion, who are prevent us from developing. But the first part are playing now a crucial role in developing and improving our condition, and I want you to be hopeful of that. Some men were walking in the dark and now they got out to the day, to the sun, and they made groups to work in general things. They didn't let even the teeny things, and they entered it and turned it from the corruption to the goodness.
Osama, let's put it this way. I mean, if we aren't talking, just stay with us if you can, Robert. I want to put it in a slightly different way for Osama, and that is, if we don't talk about the politicians, the Iraqi Governing Council, and the people who are already in the CPA, if you talk to Robert about just what ordinary Iraqis can do to move their future ahead, is this to get on with studies, get on with business, and just pretend life is as normal as possible, or is there something more Iraqis can do to improve their lives?
Well, the only way to improve their lives is to work hard and hard. This is the only way and the only passage, and this is the only path that would be paved with flowers and glory, is to work hard and hard. So I don't concern with the politics and what the politicians make, because most of the politician make is just lying and something. What I'm concerned of, the ordinary people, the simple, the workers, the farmers, the child. So this is what we are looking for, is to get hand in hand for a brighter future.
I hope so.
Well, Dick, I think to get progress, we have to listen to our government, because it is our government and we cannot change it. It has been put, and we have to deal with it rationally. That is
1-800-423-8255. Katie is joining us from Durham, North Carolina. Katie, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me. I was actually just wondering, as a college student, how your lives have all changed since the fall of the regime, especially educationally.
Well, you guys had a few months off school, didn't you?
Yeah.
1 month.
About 1 month or nearly 2 months. We had just a little pause, stop, then we just continued our normal life with the examinations, and hopefully we just passed our examinations successfully.
So tell Katie what the difference was about going to the English language classes 6 months ago and what they're like now. Just the same, what?
Well, there is not a big difference, a visible difference, but it will be in the coming years.
Hi, Kitty.
I
am Uday. I want to tell you something about studying in Iraq. I want you to learn that we were, now I hope different things will happen. We were studying on the candles. If electricity is shut up, we were studying hard for succeeding, for improving our condition and our country. We were studying hard to make our country be famous and to get back to the famous history Iraq where and the education and the history, and we also try to be a proper student, a student by a word.
There is a lot of pride in this country.
Yes.
There is a lot of pride.
And the type of national pride that Uday is describing now, that sense of this nation's history, what it once was and what it could be again.
Well, of course, every country has its own pride. And especially for the Iraqis, if we go back for a flashback, we have a glorious civilization. Just goes back through 5,000 years. So we do have a lot of pride. So what we are trying to say, as for me, in my opinion, Saddam Hussein just broke our pride. So when it's broke, so nobody can fix it anymore. So we don't want to put all the problems on the coalition forces that they broke our pride.
Will it ever be glorious again, Hussein?
Well, I am hopeful.
Would I?
Our pride.
Will this country be glorious one day?
Yes, will be.
In the near future.
Well, if there's a hope, there's a way.
Gentlemen, we are out of time. I want to thank you,
okay,
Osama Assad, for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Uday Ali.
Thanks, Uday.
Great to have you here. Hussein Al-Askri, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dick.
And a few people I want to single out for their daily contributions to The Connection live from Baghdad. Ahmed Fadam is our fixer and translator. We go nowhere without him. Mark Allard is my producer here in Iraq, in Boston. Doug Sugertz, our engineer, for his work on the mixing board. Christina Russo for her long hours on the telephone, keeping us afloat, and overseeing it all, our senior producer, Tara Murphy. Thanks to all the other members of The Connection team for their backup, to our WBUR engineers for keeping us on the air, and to my guests for their time here. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection, live from Baghdad.